Welcome to Coffee Break with Sharp Best Health. Every week, we sip on a strong new blend of practical tips, information, and education to help you optimize your health, body, and mind. Your hosts are Janice, Emily, Megan, and Olga. Your break starts now.
And welcome to another episode of the Coffee Break with Sharp Best Health podcast. This is Olga Hayes. I'm your host today. So on today's episode, we wanted to talk about menopause and specifically about why women tend to put on weight during the menopause or around the menopause time and how they can actually lose the weight and keep it off. And I know that this topic is something that many, many of Sharp female team members are very much interested in. We had a lot of questions from Sharp employees about that particular subject. So we thought it would be a good thing to tackle today. And to help me with the discussion today, I'm so excited to welcome Erin Pasok, who is a wellness education specialist at Sharp Restealy Center for Health Management. Welcome to the podcast, Erin. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Olga. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So Erin, we have this tradition on this podcast. Before we jump into the discussion, we kind of want to share with our listeners about who you are and what you do at Sharp Healthcare, maybe a little bit about your background. Would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I am a registered dietitian, and I came to Sharp Restealy about 2.5 years ago. I was previously working in a private practice, actually. And started working for Sharp, it particularly focusing in the weight management department. So here I teach a lot of our group programs and also do individual nutrition counseling for patients from pediatrics all the way through late adulthood. So I see it all here. Yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Oh, that's perfect. So you're more than qualified to talk about menopause and the weight loss. And yeah. You mentioned some of the programs and classes that you're teaching. So I'm hoping maybe we can highlight some of those opportunities and resources later today at the end of the podcast, just so that employees can reach out and take advantage of those programs. All right. So let's just dive in, right? So I wonder if we can just start by kind of explaining what menopause is, why it happens, when it happens, and kind of go from there. Maybe give a generic overview to our listeners.
Yeah, my pleasure. So we know that if we are, as women, lucky enough to enter our late 40s, early 50s, and beyond, we will eventually enter into menopause. So it impacts every single one of us. It's really just a mark of our reproductive years have come to an end. And, you know, we spend our early teens all the way up until usually our mid to later 40s in those reproductive years. And at some point it comes to an end. So we mark that time as menopause, and the time leading up to it, the perimenopause, or some of the symptoms that women might experience leading up to that final last menstrual cycle that they have. So once a woman hasn't had their period for at least 12 months, they are defined to be in menopause. And then thereafter, those are the postmenopausal years. And symptoms of menopause can still persist even beyond that point in their life. The average age for a woman to enter menopause is about 51. Okay. But, you know, many women, it comes before that, some women after that. That's just on average. And the term perimenopause is those years leading up to that point. And for some women, that can be 5 to 10 years actually leading up to that point where their body's kind of getting ready to enter into that stage, but maybe they have more sporadic menstrual cycle. Maybe they are starting to experience hot flashes or just those hormonal shifts. And, you know, they know it's coming right at some point. And then the kind of that official mark is when they hit the 1 year mm-hmm. without a menstrual cycle.
Understood. Okay. Thank you so much for explaining this. So let's talk about weight loss or weight gain. It's kind of a common belief out there that once you are in menopause or in the perineum, what's the other word?
Perimenopause, which means
perimenopause.
Close to menopause.
Close, yeah. Once yeah. you're in that time or around that time, that it's very common for women to gain weight, right, during that time, or it's hard for them to lose weight once they're in that time. And so I kind of wanted to see if you think that's the truth or if it's a misconception, it's a myth that's floating out there. You know, there are a lot of myths out there, or if there is some truth to that. And if there is truth to that, why do you think is that?
Yes, wonderful question. And yes. Yeah, this is something that as a dietitian, I certainly hear quite often is not just the weight change, but the difficulty, like you said, with, okay, I'm doing the same great things, but it doesn't seem to be making a difference like it did in my 20s and 30s, right? And so as a health professional who focuses on weight management, it is really important to know about the differences in life stage and how that impacts your weight and your metabolic rate. So diving in a little bit deeper, the research actually shows that menopause is not directly related to weight gain. However, it is related to the change in our hormones, specifically estrogen. As that declines, it will change our body composition. And that means decrease perhaps in our lean muscle mass that we know has a nicer appearance as well as is more metabolically active, and an increase in our fat mass, particularly in the midsection where people usually don't really want to have that midsection belly fat, right? And so the appearance of the body, you know, while we might even weigh the exact same amount, it will look different. The distribution of the weight will change.
And like composition. Right.
Yeah. And because of that, that change in lean muscle mass specifically, that does impact our metabolism or how quickly we burn calories. So it is important as you're going through this stage of your life to be willing to reassess, what am I doing? You know, what am I taking in terms of calories? What am I putting out? What am I exerting in terms of physical activity? And it might be a great time to develop a new action plan for not only, you know, maintaining a healthy weight, but preventing age-related weight increase that is very common.
Mm-hmm. So estrogen or decrease in estrogen is one of the factors that potentially can contribute to weight gain or making it harder to lose the weight, right? Are there any factors or menopause symptoms that can contribute to weight gain as well? I'm just thinking hormone imbalances of some sort. You know, you hear a lot of hormonal changes when you go through the menopause. Mm-hmm. So estrogen is one of them. Are there any other hormones that potentially can be shifted or be in imbalance that can lead to that weight gain?
Just to clarify, that menopause itself does not contribute to weight gain, but there are some associated symptoms that certainly people are experiencing that can cause weight gain. Okay. And so naturally, just as women age and men, right, as we age, that is one well-established factor that reduces our metabolism. Okay. So we can't fight the fact that we are all getting 1 year older every year, right?
So that happens regardless, right?
Yeah, that happens regardless.
Our metabolism slows down with menopause, without menopause.
Yeah. And it's actually a fairly small amount. It's actually only like 1-2% per decade after our later 20s or so. So it's not totally drastic where, you know, you're cutting 500 calories or anything like that. It might be anywhere from 1-200 calories or so.
Yeah.
So we can't fight that, and that is outside of our control. But when it comes to menopause and the change in our hormonal status, we experience certain symptoms that as a side effect could contribute to some weight gain.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. Hot flashes are like the number one symptom of perimenopause and menopause. And just think about it. Even for someone that's not in menopause, if they're having something every night disturb their sleep, right? Waking them up and having to completely reset and trying to get back to sleep, that in and of itself can cause weight gain, right? Because a whole cascade of events occur where we wake up and we're groggy. Maybe we're not as motivated to exercise because we're tired. Maybe we make poor food choices, particularly increase cravings for processed carbohydrates. Our hormones that control our appetite will alter. For instance, our hormone ghrelin that says I'm hungry, that will increase. Leptin that says I'm satisfied will actually decrease with poor sleep.
So that's you're not noticing when you're actually full because that other hormone is decreased. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you might eat the same amount as the day before, but with lack of sleep or poor quality sleep, that changes our hormones. So that's just one of probably many examples of how a symptom of menopause has a cascading impact on weight gain. If we're not careful, right? We do have control of some things, but it's just something to be aware of.
Yeah. And I can only imagine if you are going through some of the symptoms like hot flashes, right? Or mood swings, you are just also being super stressed, right?
Yeah.
Another hormone like cortisone is is released and increased and heightened, which is the stress hormone. So again, if you're stressed, if you're feeling more stressed out, you're more tempted to go have some comfort foods.
Yeah.
To feel better. If you're stressed out, you're less likely to go work out. So again, as you said, like a symptom can lead to a cascading effect that can ultimately lead to weight gain, right? Okay, so that makes such good sense. And I think that's one of the things that people may not realize, that it's not necessarily the hormonal changes, but it's all the effects of some of the symptoms that can make that can lead to poor choices that can actually ultimately lead to the weight gain. So, and those are and lifestyle choices we can still control. And that's the good news, right? So that's the good news. And this is something we can do about. And as you said, it's just something that we need to revisit, and things that have been working for us in terms of food and exercising. Some of those things may not be as effective anymore. And we just need to, you know, have a new action plan, as you mentioned. So that's great. And I'll have more questions about all of that. But one question I do have is just to see if you think that any pre-existing health conditions can also kind of contribute to weight gain after menopause, or making it harder to lose the weight after menopause.
Well, sure. Yeah, there is some correlation between, you know, women who are in menopause and their risk for cardiovascular disease, and risk of altered blood sugar control, you know, higher cholesterol, osteoporosis. There's kind of this correlation between that specific age, as well as the changes in the body that are occurring, and increased risk in some of these medical conditions. And so you kind of have to take a step back and say, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg, right? Like, if I'm somebody who maybe was already pre-diabetic, already trying to pay attention to my blood sugar, and then now all of a sudden my weight is creeping up, okay, now it really could be much more challenging to manage, and it ends up spiraling in the wrong direction if someone doesn't really take a solid action plan to address it.
Yeah.
Maybe someone was able to pretty much be healthy the majority of their life without much exercise. They hit the menopausal years and all of a sudden they're not used to it, but they're having maybe higher high blood pressure, maybe increased waist circumference, maybe their lipid panels altered, and they're like, what's going on? I've been doing everything the same. Well, what's happening is you kind of can't get away with it anymore, right? Like you have to go start, you know, looking more clearly at your diet, at your exercise routine, at your stress management, just like everyone else. Yeah. You know, some people are just a little bit luckier in the genetic pool, right?
Yeah.
With not thinking about it. So yeah, there's certainly correlations there. But overall, like you said, the good news is there's plenty of lifestyle choices that can make a big impact for the trajectory of a woman's menopausal years.
Yeah. And again, this is wonderful news. This is wonderful. And we hopefully on today's episode, we can actually offer some suggestions in terms of what kind of different, what kind of modifications women in the menopause phase can make to their lifestyles. And obviously, it's all very subjective, right? So everyone is different. But in general, what are some of the things women can do in order to help them kind of either control the weight better or maintain the weight, lose the weight if they had that gain, right?
Yeah. So without hesitation or doubt, every single one of us needs to figure out how can I get more active, right? I didn't say everyone has to go run marathons or join a CrossFit gym. It's just how can you ask yourself, look at your day, your average day, how can I get more active? Of course, I will get into the kind of planned exercise routine that we all might adopt, but every other hour of the day, how can we be more active with our day that tends to be more sedentary? Not everyone, but I know for me, if I'm not careful, I'm sitting most of the day. And so just moving more, activity of daily life, it totally counts. So pay attention to that, as well as having more of a structured exercise routine in place. You know, achieving or surpassing the recommendation of at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic exercise per week. So that comes out to what, 30 minutes, 5 days a week.
Exactly. You know, not it's, even it's, 7 days. Probably even less if you're splitting it up among 7 days, right? So it's like 23 minutes a day.
Yeah, get it done. And you know, more is better, right? You could do more than that. That's the minimum. And then, of course, a lot of women do forget about the importance of strength or resistance training. If you don't use it, you will lose it. You got to build up your lean muscle mass. It declines as we get older naturally. And so you have to work to maintain that, if not to build even more lean muscle mass. It will protect your body in so many ways. It protects your bones. It protects you from insulin resistance. It keeps you at a healthy body weight. It helps keep your metabolism where it should be, if not higher than normal. There's so many wonderful benefits of incorporating that, even if it's just 2 to 3 days a week.
Weight training, right? Strength
training.
Yeah. And this is something that I've been preaching my whole life. I absolutely believe in cardiovascular exercise. I feel that it's important, right? Cardio is important. It's like training for our heart to keep our hearts healthy, but we also need to keep our muscles healthy. And so that's where the strength training comes in. And so you can't really avoid that, especially if you want to age healthfully, right? And stay functional and maintain body bone density. So thank you for bringing this up. I really, really think is important.
So if that's, you know, one area that you kind of been slacking on a little bit, get started as soon as possible. And remember, something's better than nothing, right? If you can't get all the way up to 150 minutes, start with 10 minutes, start with where you are. Now from a nutrition or diet perspective. So there are a lot, there's a lot of information, right? Especially we're in the age of information overload. We go anywhere. We turn to our phones, the computer, a friend, a podcast, an article. Everyone's talking about what's the best diet, and it's extremely overwhelming. So I highly recommend ignore all that stuff. Don't even worry about it, right? Just getting back to the basics is what makes all the difference. So getting back to the basics, following some of the recommendations from the USDA dietary guidelines, right? Having a fiber, plant-rich diet. That's including plenty of vegetables, fruits, whole grains, nuts and seeds, beans and lentils. That should be the majority of what our meals are based around. That way you ensure you're getting a wide variety of nutrients and plenty of fiber to help us fill up, as well as to keep the calories down. Fiber has zero calories. We can certainly incorporate our animal-based foods as well, but going for lean choices, low-fat dairy products, eggs and lean poultry, and really kind of minimizing the red meat or really any kind of processed meat. So these are just some really basic concepts that a lot of people might be following. But here's the thing. I don't see that people always follow it consistently. Yeah. I see that's one area that a lot of women who are focused on weight management, they might do really, really good from breakfast to about 6 o'clock. And then the day is over, but it's really not. That's when some of the chips and the ice cream and the cookies and the wine and some of these other more highly processed, high caloric foods can come out to play and really sabotage all of the hard day's effort. So a really great approach is figuring out how you can space your meals and snacks to keep yourself full and satisfied, keep your blood sugar more even, keep your energy levels up, and not kind of overly restrict followed by overeating at night that can sometimes occur. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing to think about is just our meal spacing and our meal timing, as well as the quality of our food choices. Now, I don't want anyone to feel that they can never have the things they love, particularly their wine or their chips or, you know, whatever it is that they love. But maybe thinking about it more in the whole like 80-20 approach, where if you're doing 80% of the time, yeah, really working at these great nutrition concepts, and maybe 20% of the time or less, it's some of these more discretionary types of foods that bring you pleasure, that are enjoyable, but not overdoing it. Yeah. And then I think another thing to really consider when it comes to weight management is self-monitoring. What do we mean by that? Get yourself a food log, get yourself a weight log, get yourself an activity log. We want to be keeping track of all of these different efforts that we're expending during the week. And that way we can assess, how are they working for us? Do I need to make changes? You know, what went well, what didn't go well? So for instance, I really enjoy MyFitnessPal. I think that's a great app. It's free. It's user-friendly. It keeps it all in one place. And it just helps with the accountability, as well as allowing yourself to stay organized, because you can't keep it all in your head. It's just too easy to lose track as the day goes.
Yeah. And it keeps you honest, right? You,
yes.
It, because a lot of times, and I've noticed that about myself, and I know my friends do that, you know, they think they're doing everything right. They're eating the right foods. They're eating the right amounts. They're exercising enough. But if you start logging all your foods and all your exercise, you see that you are actually underestimating how much you're eating in your head. And you're definitely overestimating how much you're exercising.
Definitely.
So that's just something that we tend, as humans, we tend to do. We just think we eat less and we exercise all the time.
Which, right.
No. So by logging all your activities and the choices that you make, you can actually, as you said, be accountable, and more importantly, you're honest about what you're doing. And that way you can make changes and modify your diet and modify your exercise routine to help you be more successful.
Definitely. And even if you're not quite ready to do that, I even recommend something as simple as going on that scale once a week, no matter what, whether it was a good week or a not good week, just kind of facing that scale, because that knowledge can empower you to make a change, right? And we don't need to freak out about the number that it says, but if we start seeing it creep up, you know, beyond 5 pounds, that really is that big wake up call. Okay, something's going on here. Let me look a little bit deeper. What kind of changes have happened recently that I can address? So that self-accountability and self-monitoring are really, really vital to weight management.
I have a question that it's not necessarily related to menopause weight loss, but you mentioned to weigh yourself once a week. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people do it every day, if not twice a day. Well, I spoke with a lot of employees who do that, because they're so excited to see the progress every day. So why is it something that you're saying you need to do only once a week?
Yeah, you know, that's a wonderful question. And at the end of the day, I ask my clients and patients, I say, you know, what's going to be most supportive to you? If someone really does well when they know every single day what their weight is, and it only supports them to make positive decisions, then I think that is okay. Now, there's other people, I know plenty of people, where they get on that scale and it can really mess with their emotions. And when it messes with their emotions, it messes with their behavior and their attitude and how they approach the rest of their day, right? I got on the scale, it's half a pound up. You know, whatever I'm doing, it's not working. I might as well eat whatever I want. You know, this will never work. The negative self-talk can really take over. And so if you're that person, then I advise you to really get away from the everyday weigh-in because it's not serving you. It's not supporting you. Whereas once a week, I feel is really related to true weight change. Every day could be just water weight fluctuations.
Right.
Whereas the 1 week is enough to really show, hey, I lost a pound. You know, true weight loss or change.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, because I know if I weigh myself every day, I get really frustrated because just the weight fluctuates so much from yesterday to today.
Right.
I don't really quite know what's going on. So I actually even stopped weighing myself long time ago because I was just stressing out about this. So I think another great tool to gauge your progress is maybe not even do the scale all the time or every day, but just, you know, see how your clothes fit, right? Do the waist circumference, for example. That's a great way to do that as well.
Yeah, so, we call that the non-scale success. You know, have at least three to five different non-scale success measures. And, you know, that's a really great way to check in on your progress. As you said, it's not always that number on the scale.
Yeah, I love this. I love this. I am a huge advocate for non-scale success.
So, yes, for sure.
A couple more questions for you, Erin.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that, you know, menopause is very hormonal, right? And it's almost like adult puberty, right? There's a lot of change going on. So what do you think about hormone therapy for women who near menopause? Can it help prevent some of those symptoms? Can it help with weight gain? Can it help with weight loss?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? I just read about it somewhere, so I just wanted to check with you.
Yeah, I am not as knowledgeable on the topic, but I have investigated this because it is something that can come up and patients might have questions about. So number one thing, everyone should be directly having this conversation with their doctor because their doctor knows much more about their medical history and risk factors and their age and all of that and its appropriateness, right? So that's number one. But number two, it seems as if in recent years, there's been some new understanding on the approach of hormone therapy, and it is now considered very safe and effective to manage menopausal symptoms, as well as some of the, you know, changes in that body composition people aren't thrilled about. There can be some benefit to that too. It, you know, nuances in terms of how the hormones are distributed in the body or the dosing or the timing of that, but something to talk to your doctor about as an option because we don't want to just be left to feel like we have to suffer through any kind of uncomfortable symptom.
Understand. That's good. Thanks for researching this because I was curious. I heard about it and I thought I'll ask you.
Yeah. And I think the younger that you are, you know, as you're in perimenopause leading up to menopause, the more effective the hormone therapy can actually be for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds great. So I wanted to kind of finish with one more question, a little more specific about the diet, right? So you did mention, so we have to really take a closer look at our diet, at our energy consumption, basically how much we're eating. Exercise more. Do you have any specific recommendations, dietary tips that you could offer that could potentially help with weight loss during that time?
Yeah, I think one thing I haven't really mentioned yet, but I'm often preaching this a lot, is the concept of protein spaced throughout the day. Now, protein-rich foods, there's a variety of them, and I encourage, you know, eating a variety of protein, not just chicken, or not just, you know, Greek yogurt, but some, you know, having variety there. But the idea behind this is First, we know that protein can be much more satiating, meaning keeping us feeling full and satisfied with a meal versus more of that just simple carbohydrate-based meal, right? If your breakfast is a blueberry muffin, it's not really going to stay with you for too long, but it's a really big calorie punch. So, you know, having more of that protein-rich breakfast, lunch, dinner, and even at your snacks to help meet your protein goals, and again, help assist with the building of lean muscle mass that everyone's after. Okay. So it's more satiating as well as it's going to help with that lean muscle mass. So how much protein? It's hard to give any general recommendation. That's something that I do specific to the individual. But you could probably estimate probably anywhere from 20 to 25% of your calories coming from protein.
Yeah. So again, keeping your food log is a good idea to kind of keep track of your protein consumption.
Definitely. And people, when I shift them a little bit to a higher protein, they'll tell me that was hard. You know, you had to plan ahead. You had to really think about what are my snacks going to be? It's not going to be just a handful of pretzels. You know, that's just carbs. How can you switch that out to be more protein rich? You know, maybe it's the apple with peanut butter. Maybe it's a cheese stick and some grapes, but at least maybe think about 10 grams of protein or so per snack and about 20 to 30 grams per meal.
Okay. Okay. Those are great recommendations. This was wonderful. Thank you, Erin, so much. I mean, I definitely learned a lot. I don't even need that just yet, but you know, I will eventually.
Yes.
All women will. I'm just glad to know that contrary to popular belief, weight gain during menopause is not inevitable, right? So if you are being proactive, if you're paying attention to your lifestyle choices, if you're paying attention to your nutrition, if you're paying attention to your stress levels and sleep. So all of that can really help you avoid that weight gain or can help you lose the weight if you, you know, gaining a little bit of weight while you're transitioning into that time. So I think that's like the news that I wanted to hear, that there is, we do have something we can do. It's not going to be necessarily easy, but it is possible, right? So
definitely.
And that's something that I wanted to hear from you today. So it's like, okay, so it's not that all is lost, right? As soon as you enter the time and
definitely not.
So there is things we can do, but to your point, we have to be more intentional, right? We have to be more proactive. We have to change things and we have to be paying attention to what we're doing every day.
Definitely. And if you're not at that stage in your life yet, now is always a great time to start practicing. You don't want to have to just wake up one day and change everything. It can be a very progressive lifestyle approach at any age to decide I'm going to pay attention to these things and focus on my health.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. So if you are listening to this podcast and you're not in this stage yet, pay attention. Don't turn off the podcast just yet. Take notes.
Right.
So it will help you down the road. And so, Erin, just before we finish the podcast, I wanted to see if you would like to share some of the resources that you are offering through the Sharpreis Daily Center for Health Management that you think employees could benefit from in terms of weight loss or health coaching.
We have so many great resources, so I hope everyone taps into them, and a good amount of them are free, actually. So if you go to sharp.com/wellness, then you know we have a whole list of different options that are, you know, different between individual versus group versus meal replacement versus healthy lifestyle approach. There's something for everybody. Our most popular program is we call it the phase one program, which does incorporate a very strict meal plan using meal replacements, but it also incorporates weekly coaching, group support, a full curriculum, you know, the accountability and tracking features. It has pretty much everything we could possibly recommend it all wrapped into one. So we have an orientation program. It's offered for free. People can sit in that for 1 hour and learn about all the different details of the program, see what's right for them, and then get set up for the enrollment process. individually, we have dietitian consultations, which are one-on-one. We have health coaching services, which are one-on-one. You name it, we have it. So I'd love for everyone to check out those resources.
Oh, I'll make sure to put them in the show notes. And this is one of the reasons I love working for Sharp so much. There are so many wonderful programs and so many resources to support our team members on their journey to better health, or help them maintain their health, or whichever goals they have, there is a resource to help reaching that goal. So I always tell my guests, hey, you came over, you talked to me, you answered my questions. Now go ahead and spend a few minutes, do a shameless plug-in for your programs. We want our employees to know about those things. We want them to use those programs so that they so they can be successful ultimately.
Definitely. So, yeah.
So thanks, Erin, so much. I will make sure to plug those in the show notes. And do you have anything to say before we wrap up for today's episode?
Well, I just want to thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to speak. I think that I hate when people feel that they're all alone in this, and we have so many resources, so much support, and we want to get people not only healthy right now, but healthy as they age. And so, you know, please reach out, connect with me individually or on that resource page, and I'd love to offer more support.
And Erin, am I allowed to put your email address there?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much. That's a wonderful, wonderful offer. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed the episode and you found the information valuable and helpful. And again, if you have any more questions about weight loss after menopause, please reach out to Erin. Don't reach out to me. And thanks again for tuning in. And we wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful week. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Download this episode and find more great information on health and wellness by visiting Sharp Best Health on SharpNet.com.